Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online. Getting started simple. Go to GetRoman.com/bets and complete that online visit. Now, if your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Go to Roman.com/bets, B-E-T-S, to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/bets. One more time, GetRoman.com/bets.
It's time to follow the money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard, only on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204.
Welcome back in to Follow the Money, the third and final hour. I'm your host, Amal Shah, along with former Patriots and Browns executive Michael Lombardi. And joining us in studio right now is Mike Palm, Director of Operations for the D Hotel and Circa, which will be opening up next year. Mike, I understand you guys have a ton of construction ongoing. Things are going very well.
Yeah, it's going well. It's right on pace. We're going to hit December 2020, barring anything unforeseen. And Derek actually shot a video yesterday giving everybody an update. I think John has it in the can.
To the three-story sports book. This is the entrance where the escalators are coming in. What you're going to see behind me, this is going to be where we have this three-story screen right up here for the sports book. So we're at the level down low on the lowest section. Then the screen goes up to cover the first floor and second floor right here.
This is one of the key attractions to Circa. We are right on time. December 2020, that's what we're looking at.
Wow. Wow, Mike, that's a wow.
It really
is. Wow. That's a true wow. That's a stadium sports book. It's basically, now I know there's stadiums, but that's a true, looks like you could play a tennis match in there.
Yeah, it's actually three stories, and you'll have views. So the base level is actually the basement, right? And then where you would come in for the seating and go down where you have some of the suites and the booths and all that is the first floor. And then it goes up to the second floor. You'll still have views with, like, there's a bar. I think they're going to call it, like, overhang bar. And you'll have great views. You can play video poker right there. There's a bar in the background. And you'll have a view of the entire book, all the big screens, and the odds boards on the right.
Wow. This can be really impressive. Amazing.
The pool is also set up like this. It's really an outdoor amphitheater with this. You know, if you've been to the downtown events center and seen that screen that we play the hockey viewing parties on, the football Super Bowl viewing party on, the screen at the pool at Circa is three times the size of the outdoor events center.
Wow.
And it's really going to be focused on sports. And so the whole pool sets up to feature that screen. Now, there will be DJs, obviously, and music, but you'll get the live audio on a lot of sporting events as well.
Michael, that's the part I'm most looking forward to because Mike said I can help him in the hiring process.
I'm also going to help with the screening of the applicants for the pool.
I can understand that. Remember, it's all about eliminating. It's not about finding when you're hiring people. It's about, you know, set the profile of what you really want and then go out and hire it. That's what I think most teams make those mistakes. They just start looking for players. Like I tell everybody all the time, you know, the FBI doesn't look for serial killers in the phone book. They got a profile. So I'm sure you'll have a good profile for what you're trying to hire.
Looking forward to that. This is going to be fantastic. And you guys have really helped rejuvenate and revitalize downtown, because for a while it had gone dormant, and now you're seeing so many people. And I know Circa Sports is doing fantastic from a betting perspective. And Matty Humans talked about it when we had him on at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, in terms of the sports book options that are available. One of the things I love is if you look at the season win totals, you know, the Seattle Seahawks are at 8.5. Most places, that's the only option you have, Michael. But the reality is now at Circa, you have a 9.5 over, you have a 7.5 over, you can bet it under 7.5. So if you see an edge against a team where you don't mind either laying extra juice or taking a plus money price on a team, there's a great opportunity.
Yeah, let's say you're like Jeff Schwartz, right, who we have on the show, the former lineman, who really wants to fade the Ravens. He's down on the Ravens, right, and Lamar Jackson. He can bet them under 7.5 at a plus price if he thinks they're going to be that bad. And so if you have strong leans on teams, you can get a plus if you're going to give up a game on the win total.
Wow, that's impressive, yeah. So and the same thing for the Patriots. If you think they're going to go over a number or something like that, you think it's going to – man, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Michael, you mentioned the Patriots. Let's talk about them for a second. When you kind of look at the schedule and you look at the AFC East as a division, do you just sit there and say, okay, 5-1, the game in South Florida is always tough and Buffalo always plays them tough in Orchard Park? Because to me, New England always, every year, when I look at their schedule, 4 wins are coming within the division, 3 at home. I figure they're going to get 1 on the road or probably 2, and they might drop one against one of those division opponents.
Yeah, I mean, they got a week 2, they go down to South Florida. Yeah. Hard to play. Humidity. You know, the Dolphins open up 2 games. I think they open up with Baltimore, and then they open up and then they got New England, both back-to-back at home. So, you know, when you play that heat and humidity, there's nothing you can do in Boston to get you ready for that heat and humidity that you're going to face. We went down there in 2014, had a great first half, and then, you know, we just wilted. You wilt. You don't just dissipate, you wilt. And so I do think the Patriots have that advantage, but I think the Patriots are all about how they're going to play in November and December. I think we get too focused on September play with them. I think Belichick uses September to try to figure out what he really has. September's going to be Kenneal Harry's going to grow as a receiver. Is Maurice Hurst going to come along as a receiver and give that Maurice Harris, I'm sorry, and give them another guy, another option? Where are they at left tackle? Is Isaiah Wynn going to be able to assume the job, or is Joe Tooney going to have to go out there and play? I think there's a lot of questions that you can't answer in preseason that Bill uses September to answer and then add to his team.
You know, it's Greg Popovich is the same way. He just kind of wants to see what his team is developing as they get through November and December. The goal is to get to April 15th, which is basically around the end of the regular season in the NBA. Just be healthy. He's like, look, yes, being a one seed is great, but the reality is we're going to have to win some games on the road. He goes, you don't win 16 games at home and lose 12 on the road. If you don't have the ability to win on the road, you're not going to win an NBA title.
Yeah, you know, and I think the only way you can truly evaluate your team is a road play. I mean, that's truly what you are. I was talking to somebody yesterday about the Vikings, and they were like, well, you got a tough road schedule. Well, if you're a good team, you can handle a tough road schedule. If you're not a good team, then you go 1-6 on the road, 1-7 on the road, you know, and so you've got to be able to play well. You evaluate your team on the road, and if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you always evaluate your team on the road, because the dome can skew you a little bit in a direction to give you a positive result with a negative outcome. So you think your team's a lot better than it actually is because the dome has enhanced you. So to me, it's all about how you play on the road.
Mike, you grew up in Iowa. Is there any particular team? And I was going to say, he mentioned Minnesota, so I kind of went to that, because back then in the 70s and 80s, particularly the Purple People Eaters go to 4 Super Bowls. Bud Grant didn't win any of them, but they still had great teams. Did you follow the Vikings, or was there any particular team you grew up following?
So I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. So 3 hours, 3.5 hours from Chicago. So my father was all about Chicago sports. So he was a diehard Cub fan, a Bear fan, Bulls fan, Blackhawk fan. I really kind of went away with that and went with my own thing, although I had to adopt the Bulls growing up, right, when they drafted Jordan and ride them as far as I could.
It's hard not to root for them.
Yeah. You know, it seems like every year we're ready to give up on the Patriots in September when they lose. Tennessee last year, they went to Tennessee and got trounced. They're done. That game in Kansas City, you know, we're on to Cincinnati.
Detroit last year. I mean, they get stoned in Detroit. And I think it's really about finding your team, and it's about where you think your team is going to go and the adjustments you have to make. I mean, when you're the general manager of an NFL team, and you go to camp, you're thinking, I got 10 moves I have to make this team better. 10 moves that are going to impact this team and next year's team, and where are they coming from? And it could be just putting the right guy on practice squad, get him ready. I mean, think about it. The year we, the 2014 Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler, nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes through all of summer and he makes the team, but nobody really knows who he is. He makes the play of the year. You know, last year, you know, Sonny Michel had the knee injury, didn't play as well. You know, he comes through and makes the plays that they need to win. So it's really about, I want this team to be peaking at the right time, at the right moment.
Michael, let's stay on that theme a little bit. I myself included, most people probably don't know how a trade materializes. Take us through a situation where, you know, you're in the front office for a team. You want to either acquire player A or you want to get rid of player B. How does that, how do you go about? Do you reach out to a GM and say, this is what we're proposing? How does that work?
So most of the time now what's going to start, the phone conversations are going to start out, and everybody's going to say, look, we're going to have an extra offensive lineman. Everybody thinks they have extra of everything, right? So when they go to practice this, you know, even the bad teams, you know, it's going to be hard to cut this team. That's going to be the number one thing people talk about, the personnel people, when they go to camp. The first thing they all say, it's going to be really hard to cut this team. No, it's not. We stink. It's going to be really easy to cut this team. Like, seriously, who's going to steal some of these guys from us? Because you're so used to watching players play against themselves. And what we don't always calculate is players are smart, right? If they know a receiver can't run and he comes up for a one-on-one drill, they can't wait to cover him. Right, they can't wait to cover because they look good on that drill.
Right,
so they're like pro personnel guys. So the making of a trade is, it starts out with, what do you think you're going to have extra of? Okay, and then they give you your list. We're going to have an extra offensive lineman. Well, who's that lineman going to be? And then, of course, they tell you, like, oh, seriously, you think you're going to get something for that? So then you go through it, and then you start to look at the team. And like I was talking about yesterday, you start to look at the team and how they relate in sections of their team and what they've drafted. We know this. And this is the teams you really have to pay attention to, the teams that change coaches. So Adam Gase is in New York. So that's a new coaching staff. So he's going to get rid of a lot of the Mike McKagan players that were brought in there because he's got no allegiance to them. So you know that those teams are always going to change based on the new coaches. Vic Fangio in Denver. Now, Elway's going to run that, so he's going to control it a little bit more. But you're going to know Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. Mike Brown will control it. You know, LaFleur up in Green Bay. So there's going to be some changes that happen.
But is it easier to release a guy or to evaluate a guy that you have no allegiance to because you don't have that bias? Because so many times I feel like, whether it's in basketball or in football, you stick with a guy because he's such a high first-round pick or a high second-round pick. You want to justify that pick.
Yeah, you know, and that's what happens. And then sometimes you just get rid of a guy because, you know, we didn't draft him, so he's not my guy. I don't like him. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, look, the guys get caught on the street. I mean, Deion Lewis was out of football for a year, you know, and he came up to New England and played really well. And so there's a lot of guys that happen that way. You see it. Belichick picks guys off the – I mean, Kyle Van Noy. Detroit thought, you know, even though they didn't draft him, he wasn't their draft pick. So they got rid of him, trade him to New England. All of a sudden, he's playing really well. So you see what happens, and it's a lot of it comes from. They predetermined it. You know, you draft a running back. Well, then I'm going to get rid of this guy behind him, even before you see if the running back you drafted is really good.
You know, one of the things the Patriots do so well, Mike, is in terms of developing guys. An Ohio State guy that was a rugby player, Nate Ebner.
Yeah,
this is a guy who
special teams only though.
Absolutely, but I mean, it's amazing to me that you guys are able to find a guy who everybody else cast off and then bring him in and develop him based on kind of the disposition that you have within the room and get them to buy into the way you guys want things done.
Yeah, well, a lot of it starts with expectations. Like, nobody expected Nate Ebner to be a starting free safety and a guy who plays right on the ball. That was going to be a bonus. Where Nate Ebner had to be really good at was being the L4 on a kickoff team. He had to be really good as being the personal protector. He had to make a difference. Where he was going to make or break himself at the team was going to be what he did in the kicking game. That's where he was going to get evaluated. Whereas sometimes we globally look at players and say, well, he's got to do everything. When in reality, he can't do everything. So you shouldn't do that. And that's why, define the role for the player. Oftentimes, the definition for the player in most other organizations starts with, he's got to be really good in offense or defense. When in New England, it starts with, can he be good on special teams?
Mike, we had talked about you were a Bears fan growing up. Any particular team that you have an affinity for this year from a betting perspective? I said to Michael, I said, look, I've been late to the Patriots party for the last 20 years, but this year I look at the schedule, I look at the rest of the AFC. I think the two challengers realistically are Kansas City, depending on the status of Ty Hill, whether he gets suspended or not. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, are a dark horse. I'm not as big of a believer in the Cleveland Browns. I think they're going to be good, but I don't think they can take that next step. I think the Colts could be a dangerous team. And the Chargers, until they show me something in the postseason, can win a game when it matters, I'm not a believer.
I like to back Pittsburgh this year, and I think you can bet them three different ways, or four if you want to. I think you can bet them over the win total.
I love that, over the win total.
I think it's a steal to get him at the division.
Oh, I love them over that.
And then I think you can bet Roethlisberger for MVP. I think there's great value in all of it, Mike.
I do, too. It's funny, Mike. I would take five players. I would put 100 down on if I was a betting guy, I would take five players. One of them would be Roethlisberger, and I would put Mahomes in there, too, and just hedge my bet, and I would feel like one of those five guys, because I think the MVP vote is really one of the only chances that the gambler or the investor, however you want to phrase them, can narrow the field down pretty close, right? We know it's not going to be Saquon Barkley, because even if he gains 1,200 yards and he has 30 touchdowns and the Giants win four games, he ain't winning it, right? So it's going to come down to a quarterback on a team that has a resurgence. That falls for me for Pittsburgh. I think if Big Ben plays well and does the things he's capable of, I'm with you. I'm all in on Pittsburgh. I think Devin Bush makes them different. I think Mark Barron will help them, give them more speed on defense, and that's the critical component.
I think you can look at it that way, too, in college. All the value is, and if you want to identify a team, if you're high on Georgia to win the national championship, why bet them at 12-1 when you can get Jake Fromm at 20 or 25-1 to win the Heisman?
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Here's the difference. The Heisman is more of a statistical award, and I don't think Jake Fromm is going to basically – he's not going to be able to put up the type of stats that you see out of players out of Oklahoma and some of these other leagues. I think Georgia's got a better team as a whole. I just don't think Fromm is necessarily going to put up that offense, because I love the running game that Georgia has.
Oh. You make a good point there, because it'll be a whole package. But you're still going to get – when you can get double the value with a quarterback, I still think it's worth a shot.
Right. I'm with you. I think Pittsburgh, everybody's talking about Cleveland winning it. I mean, Cleveland hasn't won eight games. You got to get good before you get great. And I think that's part of the problem with Cleveland, is they're taking this giant leap forward, and there's going to be some tough elements. Pittsburgh's been through some tough games. I mean, they've won 57 games the last 5 years. They're only second to the Patriots at 74. So they've won a lot of games the last 5 years. Now, they've had some dysfunction in the locker room, and I don't think you can minimize how much a healthy locker room mentally makes you a better team.
It's going to be interesting to keep an eye out for, and you mentioned it. What amazes me when you use that stat over the last 5 years is the fact that there's a 17-game discrepancy.
They've lapped the field.
Yeah, between team number one and team number two.
As Uncle Junior says in The Sopranos, some people are so far out of the race they actually think they're in the lead. There's some teams that actually think they're in the lead. I mean, well, you know, the Browns have won 18 games. The 49ers have won 25. The Giants have only won 30 games. We talk about the Giants like they're this unbelievably great franchise the last 5 years. They're 2-14 to start the season. In the last 2 years, right? They haven't won very many. They've won 30 games over the last 5 years. I mean, this is what we're talking about. So, you know, I think, look, it's something to consider. It's also something to sleep on. So, anyway, if it's tough to sleep during a heat wave, now there's actually a bed that keeps you cool through the night, no matter how hot it is outside. It's the Pod by 8 Sleep with dynamic temperature regulations to enhance your rest and recovery. For $150 off, go to 8sleep.com/VEASAN. That's 8sleep.com/VEASAN.
When we come back, Michael breaks down clock management and the number of plays teams should be running in late game situations. We get into that next here on Follow the Money.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VEASAN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VEASAN.com.
I'm Brent Musburger, reminding you that the football betting season is here. There is nothing like it. Are you ready to celebrate the thrill of victory and cash a ticket even on defeats? Sharpen your edge now with the help of Matt Eumanns, Dave Tooley, and the rest of my guys in the desert. We'll get you prepared for the football season with exclusive handicapping stories and data that you won't find anywhere else. Go to vsin.com/subscribe for the package that makes sense for you, including a one-week trial at no charge. Our new all-access subscription includes Point Spread Weekly, VSIN's digital magazine, designed to make you a better handicapper and avoid the agony of defeat. You'll also get VSiN's 140-plus page college football betting guide, followed by our comprehensive pro football betting guide in August. Sign up now, vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-216-8991. 800-216-8991. 800-216-8991. That's 800-216-8991.
Hey, everybody, it's Christopher Mad Dog Russo, and you can catch me every afternoon on Mad Dog Sports Radio. But in the meantime, we've got big news here at SiriusXM. For the first time, your subscription includes listening outside the car. Now you can enjoy SiriusXM on your phone, online, and at home as well. All you need to do is create a username and password, and you're ready to start streaming. Our brand new app now has over 100 commercial-free extra music channels and video of some of our best in-studio performances. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/more.
Your search is over. You found Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on SiriusXM 204. Now listen up for Winformation.
Welcome back in to Follow the Money. We now go to Michael's Mythbusters. We're going to get into a little bit of football talk in depth, and Michael's going to explain to us how and why some of these coaches can't seem to manage the clock in late-game situations.
You know, I think what happens, too, is it starts really with preparation, right? So everybody thinks the two-minute drill is everybody has a two-minute drill. Well, if you're a coach or you're a high school coach, a college coach, it doesn't matter. You need, like, four variations of a hurry-up offense. You need, like, the first one is we're going to run a regular offense. The second one is we're going to run a little bit more with tempo. The third one is we're going to keep it going. And then the fourth one's a two-minute, we got to go, right? And I think what happens a lot of these games is nobody counts the clock as their opponent. And so they just run two-minute. And then when they look and they score, Andy Reid scores with 2:48 to go in the fourth quarter and gives Tom Brady all that time to come back. It's like, oh, God, you know, what did I do? You know, it's like I left them too much time. So one of the things I think you got to really understand, always understand, is the clock is only a reflection of how many plays are left in the game. I think there's a great scene, Mike, in the Super Bowl. Belichick walks over to Brian Flores, now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He walks over to Brendan Daly, the defensive line coach, and he says, look, fellas, we got about 15 calls left in this game. Let's make sure we know what they are. Let's make sure we get them right. Let's make sure the players understand what we're going to call in every situation. He knew at that time there was only 15 plays left to go in the game because he's looking at the clock, and it was 5 minutes to go in the game. He knew there was only about that many calls left. And what happens? Flores makes a great blitz call against the right look, and Goff throws the interception. You know, if Goff hangs onto that ball just another tenth of a second and throws it out there, it's either incomplete. It's going to be incomplete or a touchdown, right? But he get rid of it quick, catches them, and they win the game.
You know what blows my mind is these teams spend so much time in preparation, X's and O's, Mike, during the week, and the little nuances of math. And I asked Michael a point-blank question. This is one of the greatest answers I've ever gotten. I said, how come these teams don't do this in terms of hiring a clock manager? He said, because the head coach won't listen.
He won't listen. They just won't. Look, it's unbelievable how little people understand about the game management. I mean, Al Davis drills it in you. When you work for Al Davis, it was all about the game. That's why Bill Parcells was so effective with it, because Bill Parcells, people don't realize, spent a lot of time with Al. In fact, when he got fired at the Air Force Academy, he was out of work 1 year, and he scouted for the Raiders. Not a lot of people know that. And he got really involved with Al, and he learned clock management and how to play complementary football. We never talk about complementary football, which is mean how we're going to run this clock to help our offense. I mean, sometimes we score, you've got to play a complementary game to help your offense or a defense to stay off the field. Look, we talked about it yesterday. Mike, the Cowboys are undefeated when they play 30 minutes or less of defense. Think about that. Now, if you're Jason Garrett, your number one objective this offseason is to make sure we're really good on third down, we're really good at protecting the ball, and we milk that clock. Because we know if we play this, our defense plays under 30 minutes, we got a really good chance of winning.
You know what drives me nuts, Michael? We talk about this every week during the football season, is there's mismanagement of the clock. I have a theory that if you're trailing by 1 point or more into the fourth quarter, you should always go in hurry-up mode, because that clock in the fourth quarter drains so quickly.
Who's the quarterback you're playing against?
That's fair.
You want to go hurry up with Mahomes?
Well, you may not, because you're giving him more opportunities.
Right.
But I feel
so
like
every game's a different game. You'll go hurry up with Mariota, you know, because I don't mind him having the ball, but because it's going to take him. But I think you've got to understand who's your opponent. You got to understand how quickly they could. I mean, I want to limit Mahomes' touches. I want to put Mahomes in more third downs. I want to limit his touches. I want to go in the game when I play Mahomes and sit there on the board and say, the Chiefs can only have 10 possessions in this game. We never talk about possessions. We only talk about who has the ball. If I can make this a 9 or 10 possession game, that means Mahomes missing two possessions with the football. That's two chances he can't score, right? So now if I can if I win five third downs, okay, if I win five third downs on a 10-possession game, that means they're punting five times, right? And then I got a chance, and if I can play really good in the red zone on those other five possessions, the games are going to be in the 20s. If I give up one touchdown, the game's in the 20s. That's how you have to think. You reverse engineer it. You don't always just say, well, we're going to have to play good defense today. Because good defense is not about playing. It's all about situational defense.
To me, the greatest Super Bowl ever, just personally, was Super Bowl 25, which was one of the great game plans of all time with the Giants, with Parcells and Belichick.
Right.
With Jim Kelly and the K-Gun, let Thurman Thomas run the ball, chew the clock up, and they'll have limited possessions. And that was an unbelievable game plan and football game.
Yeah, that game plan's in the Hall of Fame, and Belichick became the head coach of the Cleveland Browns the next day after they won that game. And it was all about, look, what's the lesser of two evils? Like, we can't stop everything. You know, everybody goes in the game thinking, we got to stop this, we got to stop that. You know, the old sideline adage, oh, watch the screen, watch the draw, watch around, oh, hell, just watch everything. Well, you can't watch everything, right? You got to slow. How are we going to make this team play left-handed? How can we force the Rams to play outside their comfort zone? And what he did in that game was pretty clear. He said, look, you can't beat me if it becomes a drop-back pass game. You don't have any drop-back passes. I've said it all year on this network that the Rams had no drop-back passes. My Twitter account, I was called an idiot more than Al Davis called me an idiot. It was ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, the reality of it is they don't have any drop-back passes. Baltimore this year, they'll have very few drop-back passes with Lamar Jackson. You mentioned Jeff Schwartz doesn't like Baltimore. If Baltimore plays with the lead and Lamar Jackson doesn't have to throw drop-back passes, they might be pretty good. But if they get behind in games and their defense isn't as good, all of a sudden he's got to run, utilize his drop-back pass. They don't have a drop-back pass game. You can't have one with him.
To a lesser extent, the Cowboys are the same way. Great team with the lead and playing downhill. But if they get down two scores and Dak's got to drop back and throw the ball, they're not going to win either.
That's right. And that's what happens to them. They're one of the worst teams in the third quarter. They don't make adjustments on the fly. What their game plan is their game plan. And as you go into these games, you got to see teams that are able to adjust in the third quarter and what they do, how they change their game plan. People don't understand. Belichick is in a mad dash to figure out what the game plan is. You'll hear him on the headset say, this is kind of how we thought it was going to go, or wait a minute, they're doing something completely different. We need to adjust. No game is the same, and I think the Cowboys, they don't always do the great job of adjustment. Now, we'll see. Kellen Moore is going to be the play caller. Never happened before. I mean, this guy's had such an insurgence in terms of, he's smart, he knows plays. It's one thing to know plays. It's another thing to play chess. Like, I know where all the chess pieces are supposed to go,
right?
But I can't think seven moves ahead. Like, that's what great play callers can do. They think seven moves ahead.
To finish up the point Mike made about Super Bowl 25, the New York Giants had the ball for 40 minutes and 33 seconds. The Buffalo Bills had it for 19 minutes and 27 seconds. But the yardage differential was only 15 yards in favor of the Giants.
Well, because they could care less about the yards.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying to everybody all the time. The Eagles are another perfect example of this. Why did the Eagles win the Super Bowl 2 years ago? They played less defense than everybody.
Yeah.
When you can play less defense, when you can play 25, 26 minutes of defense, you become a better defense. How do you do that? You control the clock. Everybody, when you want to run and hurry up, That means your defense is on the field more.
But you know what drives me nuts? We see this all the time, particularly in college football, and you'll see it in the NFL, not as bad or as egregious, is teams snap the ball with 10, 11 on the play clock. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, over three plays, if you do that, instead of snapping the ball at 3, 2, or 1, I understand you're not going to be able to snap it at 1 every time, but let's say within 5 seconds, that's 15 to 18 seconds that you can conserve off the game clock that benefits you.
Right. I think that's one of the things that they don't talk enough about in terms of the game, because the quarterback, the team, when the head coach meets in front of the team on Wednesday, he should make an announcement that we are going to play the play clock to a certain point. We need to play it very fast, or we need to play it very slow. We have to be able to say that. That should be inherited. It's just like that when you walk into a quarterback's room, you know, the quarterback, it drives me crazy. If the ball is on the opponent's 30, the quarterback can't take a sack there.
Right.
He can't take a sack. There's positions on the football field that a quarterback can't take a sack on. And yet they do, and you wonder why the hell that happens.
That's how the Patriots won that Super Bowl 2 years ago, is because they took that sack.
Right. You can't take a sack
there. You couldn't take a sack.
You can't take a sack there. And then we all, after the fact, but obviously in the Atlanta Falcon quarterback meeting room, they don't have a giant board that says these are the positions on the field that the quarterback can't take a sack.
Yeah, but
every high school quarterback should know, I can't take a sack here. I got to throw the ball away.
But you know what's funny? Watching football for so long, and I understand you have a different perspective, I always assume that coaches know. There was several years ago, 2014, Rocky Long and San Diego State are playing, and he didn't go for two. They scored to cut it to five with about 6 minutes to go, and he didn't go for two. Al Groh, when he was at Virginia, they scored against Wisconsin. They're down 16-6 with 5 minutes to go. I remember I was with a friend of mine. We were in Los Angeles, and he didn't go for two. We said, if you're the AD at Virginia, you go down on the sideline with 5 minutes to go and say, Al, you've been relieved of your duties. Yeah. You're not smart enough to coach here.
Amal's been talking about that for 20 years now.
I think
that's
100%
like 2001.
I mean, look, it's this whole fallacy of how we've always done things. And people don't always understand how many. See, when you do that, what you're saying is, what he's saying to you is he's getting more possessions. And what you have to do in the fourth quarter is figure out how many possessions are left in this game.
But, Mike, there's about five and change to go in the game. It's 16-6.
That's right. You don't have enough possessions. You either got to do it now or you don't.
But there's got to be somebody on the sideline says, hey, coach, we got to be down by eight. Being down by nine makes no difference.
Yeah, I can't defend it. It just happens constantly because a lot of it is just this. I mean, a lot of it, they're just doing that. You know, they're looking at their play sheets. You know, what am I going to call next? You know, and they got, okay, I'm on TV to watch me scratch this out. You know, it's like, give me a break. Like, you know, I asked Belichick one time, I said, like, when he was at the Giants in that game, you know, he would have his hands in his pocket. I said, where's your play sheet? He said, I got Lawrence Taylor. I don't need a play sheet. Now, you know, that's a little bit of, you know, he's exaggerating the situation. But it's true. Like, the best teams run their stuff. That's what they do.
I know our executive producer, Brian Rogers, always likes to point to, we're on to Cincinnati, but my favorite answer of Bill Belichick's press conferences ever was when he goes, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor, right?
Yeah.
When somebody tried to compare Khalil Mack to Lawrence Taylor, get out of here.
Yeah.
When we come back, Mike Palm's going to have the Palm Reader's Playbook. We get into that next.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
If you're a loyal follower of VSiN, it's time to take the next step. Sign up for VSiN's free daily newsletter. You'll get an email every single morning with news, analysis, and betting resources to help you improve your handicapping. Dave Tooley tracks the ATS results from the night before. Jeff Fogel offers insights on how to read the ups and downs of the sports betting markets so you know what the sharp bettors are doing. Receive the daily betting schedules from the South Point Sportsbook with games listed in official Nevada rotation order. Watch highlights from VSiN shows, plus learn about special offers and discounts from VSiN. That's all for free. That's all in VSiN's daily newsletter. Sign up at VSiN.com/newsletter. That's VSiN.com/newsletter. It's kind of like getting a postcard right here from your friends in Las Vegas.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your driver's and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-218-6440. 800-218-6440. 800-218-6440. That's 800-218-6440.
College football season will be here before you know it. Listen to The Edge as John Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns preview the top 80 teams in the nation.
There is no better list of 80 ranked college football teams. I like to think that they had a NCAA tournament-esque watch party. You know what I mean?
Everybody's jumping up and celebrating that, that they snuck in at the 80th spot.
Be a smarter, more informed college football better this season with The Edge's top 80. Weekdays at 3 East on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. VSiN, Channel 204.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Atlanta's Dallas Keuchel has allowed just 5 runs and 21 in the third innings in his last 5 starts. He's on the mound with the Braves today. They're a $1.10 favorite at Milwaukee. Brewers even money, 10 over the total at Miller Park. Reds $1.20 road dog at the Cubs today. Sonny Gray for the Reds. He has allowed just 1 earned run with 21 strikeouts in 15 innings pitched in his last 2 starts. Yu Darvish going for the Cubs at a $1.30 favorite. Tiger Woods 18-1 to win his 4th claret jug at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Tees off Thursday in Northern Ireland. Rory McIlroy, the 8-1 favorite. VSiN's College Football Betting Guide breaks down all 130 FBS teams with expert analysis from your favorite guys in the desert. It's coming out July 25th and costs $19.99. But pre-order now and get it for just $9.99. Go to VSiN.com/betfootball. That's VSiN.com/betfootball. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's been between 2 and 3 minutes. You know what that means. It must be time for more Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on SiriusXM 204.
Welcome back. Mike Palm joining us in studio here. Mike, you've got the Palm Reader's Playbook on this early Thursday. What is this, Wednesday? Thursday?
Wednesday now.
Wednesday, gosh.
You're wishing it was Friday.
You're 100% right on that one. I feel bad for everybody listening out there. The cough button is broken. I'm sitting there coughing like I'm dying over here. Michael Lombardi's done yeoman's work. He's doing the reads. He's doing everything.
It's all part of the team. You know, you just got to do whatever you can do to help, right? Whatever we
appreciate
can do
it
to help out.
Let's just hope he doesn't get us sick. Now, I always gave him all a hard time because when he would fill in for Gil, I'd say, why can't he come back and work with Brent in the afternoon? Why? I mean, what's the deal? Is it that hard?
Well, he's like Mariano Rivera. He's going to throw a couple innings and that's it. He's got to take the night off.
Hey, Michael, I'm not doing 2 innings. It's only one promo. Every once in a while, I might do 2 innings.
Try to be more like Taylor Rogers and get those 6 and 9 out saves. Boy, is that guy valuable for Minnesota.
I tell you what, yesterday...
In an era where the bullpens can't get anybody out, and these relievers suddenly become very important. That's why I think Oakland still has a shot here. I know they made the trade for Bailey, and he's going to start today. But I love their bullpen in that the 6th and 7th inning guys are really good. You got Yusmeiro Petit. Nobody talks about him. He can come in and get you out of a jam in the 5th or the 6th and then go another inning. And you still have depth to that bullpen. And now Liam Hendricks, the Australian, has stepped into this closer's role. I like the way Bob Melvin's handling this team. Go ahead, Amal.
No, I was going to say, trading for Homer Bailey is like trading in a used car that's 7 years old with 140,000 miles on it, getting a car that's got 138,000 miles on it.
Remember, they'll get Montas back before the season's over. And if they can get to a wild card game, he'll start the wild card game. And I think they got a shot. They're live here if you can get them at a nice price, 40-50 to 1.
I'd like to see baseball expand the postseason number of teams that get in. The NFL, you have 12. In obviously the NBA, the whole league makes it. The NHL, same thing. Now you have 16 in both the NBA and the NHL. you play too many games to only have five teams get in essence, really four in each league, because you play that one game wild card. To me, you play 162 games, and to come down to one game, no matter how good you are, anybody could have an off day.
I like Bob Costas's theory of how he would change the playoff structure in MLB, which is the wild card becomes a three-game series. The winner of the wild card faces the one seed, but five out of the seven games are at the one seed. And so teams will play to have the best record because of that home field advantage that you would get. But it also makes the wild card more meaningful in that it's two out of three instead of that one and done format. Right.
Yeah, well, I think two out of three, that's a hard series. But when you get into those situations, like in the NBA when we used to have the five-game series,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot. You know, they say it all the time. It's that one and done. You know, Loyola Chicago can make advance as far as they want in the one and done, but when you have to beat somebody in a seven-game series four times, you are the better team.
That's why the NBA, you just don't see upsets. You know,
right, because you are the better team.
I love Michael talks about it. He's talked about it all this week. Don't donate your money by betting on Mitchell Trubisky to win the MVP.
Yeah.
It's why it's hard to bet long shots in the NBA as well.
Yeah, I remember when it was still the five-game format. Wasn't it Denver beat Seattle?
Seattle. Yeah, they were an 8-1.
That's where you can get some upsets. Yeah. But when you go to seven, you've taken away all the, you know, the best team can figure out a way, especially if the coaches can make some adjustments. And so I think you could do that. What do you have for us, Mike?
Well, I'm going to look at it. I'll take a look at the early games today since we got six earlies.
And you're getting a lot of action on baseball down there, huh?
A lot of action. We get people firing. A lot of people play these 2.5 run lines of all.
That's a little precarious.
I've never done it.
Neither have I.
I've never done it, but you get people that want to play like today with the Red Sox. They'll come back with them after the loss last night, and instead of laying 140 and lay 1.5, lay 2.5 and get them at a plus price, plus 135, plus 140. It's interesting, right? Yeah. And in this era where they're scoring so many runs, maybe there's some value in that. I just never have done it. But let's take a look at, let's go back to Target in Minneapolis today in this game. It's interesting here with Vargas for the Mets. Remember, he pitched in the American League for the last 8 years before he came to the Mets?
Yeah.
And for 4 years in Kansas City in division with Minnesota. So he's faced Minnesota plenty. 8-4 against the Twins in 18 lifetime starts. In his last three starts against the Twins, 3-0 with a .78 ERA.
Wow.
So he does well against his team. He also has a winning record in Minnesota. Now, there's two ways you can take a look at this. Do you want to take a shot with the Mets plus 152? I'd take a look at that. But also, with a 10.5, you're going to see the first five under six. We played that last night. I was a little worried Todd Wishnev was on the same side, but I held my nose, and we only gave up five. So we got through that one. He was also on the Red Sox with all of us, and we split that out. But look at an under six here, first five, and also a play on Vargas here with the Mets. Mets bullpen after that horrific June, yeah, starting to round into shape.
It can't be any worse.
Well, you know, you have an ERA of almost 8 for a month for your bullpen. I know Diaz got out of a jam last night. He could not locate the ball at all in the month of June. If you watched him pitch, when he was with Seattle, he could put the fastball or slider on either corner. He was just aiming the fastball the whole month of June. And then I still like Seth Lugo. The only problem with him is he just tries to throw too hard. Well, he does, and that's why he gives up too many home runs. But Seth Lugo's got decent stuff out of the bullpen as well. So a play here, if I did, would go under six, first five, and take the Mets for the game at plus 150.
Mike, do you sit at the book and watch all the games? I mean, do you watch them all?
So the benefit that I have is that part of my role as a vice president, and he said director now for about three straight weeks, trying to downgrade me, this guy.
I didn't get the memo.
It's only been 5 years, them all. But anyhow, is that I have been in charge since Derek bought that business of what we call active content management. So I program all the TVs and the music in the casinos, right? So especially on Saturdays and Sundays and Thursdays and Fridays in the evenings, I'm responsible, so I get to sit there and watch the TVs for most of the day. Because to be good at the management of the TVs, you have to watch everything.
Right.
You can't just put them up there and walk away. That's where you get these black DirecTV screens and rain delays and move it around, switching the audio to the game that's most important or the game that's coming down to the end. You got a no-hitter going. We went to on Sunday, who would have, what, Tampa Bay and Baltimore. Yeah. But when you got a combined perfect game going into the eighth, now you put that on and people get interest. So I get to watch so many baseball games, so many football games. A lot of college basketball. I'm not an NBA guy, and I don't really even put it on there. But it's a benefit to be able to watch.
Yeah, it is, because when I was at the – when we were – JVT and I were doing the Oceans last year, betting across America, you know, I don't think anybody was watching the TVs. One time we had Laverne and Shirley on up there. I was like, come on, man. You know, this is – like, get this thing off. Seriously.
Michael, I'm with you. So many places they butcher, and I'm like, it's not that hard.
Like, seriously, this is a sports book. I mean, you know, like, get that tennis thing down. Like, okay, you know, some Australian Open, like, seven people in the world. Like, enough of that. Like, put a football game up there, you know? If I had had control of the TVs, I would have been deadly at the Ocean. I would have, you know, no Hogan's Hero or Laverne and Shirley, I promise.
I think they had one at Oceans one time. Krakenberger tweeted about they had Gilligan's Island on.
No, what happened was they put MeTV on. Shameless plug for MeTV. Like seriously, MeTV? Like,
I don't even know what that is.
MeTV is a generational all old 60s mm-hmm. and 70s
reruns,
sitcoms and Columbo and all that. I mean, you know, it's brutal. Anyway, continue along with your wonderful baseball
Let's
analysis.
Go to Wrigley for our next play here. Sonny Gray goes up against one of Amal's favorite pitchers, Yu Darvish. Sonny Gray's record does not indicate how well he's pitched, he's 5-5, but he's left five games with the lead after five innings where he was eligible to win. And that Cincinnati bullpen either blew the game or gave up a tie, and he did not get credit for the win. Darvish has given up 20 home runs this year. Compare that to Sonny Gray's 9. Pitched great against John Gray in Colorado. He's only given up one run in his last 15 innings of work. Darvish had his best outing of the year against Archer last time out, coming off the All-Star break. I'll go with Sonny Gray here and take a price. If you can get him, probably bet him early here. Anywhere around plus 120.
Yeah, this is a Cubs team with Darvish on the mound. I just have a hard time backing them in so many spots. Anything else that you have on the board today?
I looked at one other game here, and I've been trying to fade the Cardinals. I just think their bats have been dead for about 3 weeks. And if Goldsmith isn't hitting, this team has a hard time putting up runs. Archer's a guy, of course, probably involved in one of the worst trades of the last 4 or 5 years with Tampa Bay when Pittsburgh got him back. And to think about how poorly he's pitched for Pittsburgh. He pitched against the Cubs in this game where him and Darvish, I think, both went into the sixth inning. Either one had a no-hitter and one had a one-hitter. And Clint Hurdle talked about after the game that this is the best and most comfortable he's looked in a Pittsburgh uniform, and we're looking for him to bounce back. Ponce de Leon, relatively youthful, not a lot of starts, only pitched against Pittsburgh one time. Archer with an ERA lifetime under 3 against the Cardinals. Let's take a little shot here with Chris Archer, plus 130, 125 today in St. Louis.
There's a game that I really like today, and that's the Colorado Rockies at home with John Gray going on the mound. They've lost 3 in a row to San Francisco. They came back down 3 runs in the 9th inning yesterday to tie that one, lose 8-4 in extra innings. I think the Rockies bounce back and avoid the 4-game sweep at home. It'll be John Gray going up against Sean Anderson. Rockies are minus 170. To me, I'm so shocked that this run line is skewed to being at plus 105. I figured it'd be minus 115 or 120 because you're at Coors. Day game, I expect to see a lot of runs. I like the Rockies to bounce back here on the run line.
I don't know how long they can keep going with this, but do you have him on Monday, Amal? Did you have plus 180?
Yeah, I said it on the air.
On game one?
Yeah, game one, which Samardzija pitched.
I didn't hear
it. Their offense was going so well. They won that game 19-2. It was over in the third inning. It was 12-0.
11 earned runs he gave up for Colorado, the starter. I'll go one other game here that I'm going to look at tonight, and that's Nova against Duffy in Kansas City. They'll hang another 6 on this. I still think it'll take 7 to beat you. Nova has pitched well but hasn't gotten much run support. He did beat the Cubs as a plus $2 favorite when we had him a couple Mondays ago. And then he gave up a couple runs, but Fires outdueled him in Oakland. And so I think they'll hang a 6 on this again because it's 10.5. You may even get minus 105. So under 6 in Kansas City tonight. The first game went under, second game pushed last night.
You know, a game I'm not going to touch, but Michael, we talked about it earlier in the week. The Cleveland Indians are now 10-1 against the Detroit Tigers. It'll be Mike Clevinger going up against Turnbull in this one. This is a Tigers team that just can't score. They got one hit last night. It reminds me of a major league.
Why aren't you touching it? See, you're like the coach that won't run the same play again. Like,
I'm not Steve Spurrier, no.
No, like, just keep running the same play. They ain't stopping it. Like, keep doing it. I mean, why would you stop? Then, like, he's one of those guys, you know, okay, he got a sheet. He's going to scratch it off so the TV camera's looking at him. I've scratched that off. I'm not running that again. Like, if it's good, run it.
My only concern is Turnbull's a pretty decent pitcher, but the Tigers, as you said, they can't score, and the Indians' offensive road.
The
Indians' offense is going well. Probably going to end up having to look at this run line here. I just don't like laying it. But Detroit, one hit yesterday.
Michael, I'm with you. I ride these things.
Yeah.
Giolito, we won 7 in a row with him. Now we're 1-3-1, but we're still way up. You just got to keep going with it when there's value with it. How about Anibal Sanchez to the first 5 unders? We've won 7 in a row with that because they hang 6 or 5.5 every time.
I think, when something works, until they prove it, they can stop it. Make them prove that they can stop it. Make them prove it. I mean, that's when, you can dress it up and run a different look, but run the same thing,
I agree. You know what? That's actually very good advice. I'm going to follow that.
Follow that advice. And then when you go to bed tonight, think about this, all right? Anyway, it's tough to sleep during a heat wave, and now there's actually a bed that keeps you cool throughout the night, no matter how hot it is outside. It's the Pod by 8 Sleep with dynamic temperature regulation to enhance your rest and recovery. For 150 off, go to 8sleep.com/Veasan. That's 8sleep.com/Veasan.
When we come back, we're going to pick Michael's brain on what you can look for towards preseason NFL that'll enhance your betting.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Paulie from VSiN. How many of you have something that hurts, like on your body? Right now, I've got this thing with my back, an old-timer, bugging the hell out of me. I heard about this stuff called Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, and I'm thinking, okay, what's this all about? Did some research, checked it out. Good, real good. Patented formula. Must mean something good. 11 anti-inflammatory ingredients. Sounds like a lot. Nanotechnology. No idea what that is. Must be good. Read the testimonials. Off the charts good. So I thought this might be BS, but I'll give it a shot. And what do you know? Boom. Jackpot. What a move this was trying Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. My God, my back feels better already. Now listen to me. I know everyone has something bothering them. Joint pain, arthritis pain, muscle pain. Do you want to feel better? Then get this stuff now. Go to voodoopainrelief.com and enter the code Paulie and you'll get a special deal. VoodooPainRelief.com, code is Pauly. VoodooPainRelief.com, VoodooPainRelief.com.
If you've ever looked at your finances and screamed, how can I make this much and still have so much debt? Then this is a message for you. Just creeps up on you, right? Unexpected repairs, replace the washer and dryer, medical bills, and the killer, those insane interest credit cards you had to use to pay for it. Well, here's a really smart move that can help you get on top of your finances. Get a fixed-rate personal loan at bestegg.com. The rates are great right now. Imagine finally being able to pay down those crazy high credit cards and bills once and for all, and then bank the money you save each month. Consumers have rated Best Egg 4.8 out of 5 stars on Consumer Affairs because of the super easy online loan app that takes about a minute with no impact to your credit score. Upon approval, funds can be deposited in as little as one business day. Get your bills under control. Bank what you save and take control of your finances with a loan from BestEgg.com. Visit BestEgg.com/plan. That's BestEgg.com/plan.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio has unfiltered golf talk from the likes of 3-time PGA Tour winner Pat Perez.
This is when it becomes serious, and this is when our tour and our rules officials need to take this more serious.
11-time winner John Cook and World Golf Hall of Famer, the Shark, Greg Norman.
On performance, they went and handed the U.S. team a really resounding thrashing.
It's the place for golf talk, and it's on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, Sirius 208 XM 92.
And we're back with more Follow the Money on SiriusXM 204. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard have the mics for the information you need to win.
Welcome back into Follow the Money. Mike, you had some questions for Michael.
Yeah, I'm all always talks about you're a Cleveland and Patriots executive, of course, also with the Raiders.
Yes.
People know you as having worked with two or three of the biggest legends in football, with Belichick and Bill Walsh. But really, you're really a Harvey Hyde disciple, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. Yeah. I met Harvey Hyde when I was in college, I was obsessed with getting into the NFL. And so I would go to coaching clinics throughout the country. And this one happened to be a coaching clinic in Atlantic City, the Coach of the Year Clinic. And Harvey Hyde was a speaker there, was the head coach of Pasadena City College. And I went up to him and had a conversation with him. He took me to lunch, and he's really started my NFL career. He started my career completely. Because then I came out here and I was a unpaid assistant. I was on Burger King coupons and buffet tickets, you know, which I'm back to now anyway.
So I wanted to ask you a hypothetical. Let's say that the Cardinals had made a decision to change GMs and had offered you the position this offseason. And you had accepted it. And let's say you accepted a 3-year contract or something like that. And you had to go out and search for a head coach that you could build a program with. Who are some of the guys you would have looked at right now?
Well, you know, for me, it's I need somebody that understands what Belichick and I really grew up in and together in Cleveland, which is we call it the Patriot way today. You know, somebody that understands that the game has to be controlled in the middle of the field. Brian Flores would have been somebody. Josh McDaniels would have been somebody. Greg Schiano, who actually left, the would have been somebody I strongly consider, because you need to have somebody that speaks the same language as you. So when I walk in a room and I say to Belichick, look, that guy doesn't fit the program, we don't really have any conversations about what the program is. You know, we understand there's a chain of command. We understand what fits in the program, and we understand it. So to me, if you want to build a culture, it only can start with a guy that you know understands the same culture that you know. And that's when I've been my best in the league in terms of finding talent, is when I've worked for somebody that understands culturally what we're all looking for and how to build a team. Because one thing about the NFL, and when you hire all these employees for Circa, you have to know who you want to be, right? You've got to really understand, who do I want to be as a football team? Do you want to be a fat team? Do you want to be a skinny team? Do you want to be a tall team? So you go out. Once you decide who you want to be, there's a slip of paper in my office back in Ocean City that I'm going to give to the Hall of Fame. When Belichick walked into Cleveland and I met him for the first time, he handed me a piece of paper that basically described exactly what we were going to become as a football team. And on that piece of paper is, we are going to be a mentally tough football team that can play in any kind of weather. We will control the middle of the field. We'll be a size speed team that can endure injuries. I mean, that's what it was, period. We knew what we were right then. That's it. And most teams in the league don't have that. Michael. The Cardinals don't have that right now. And that's why, you know, they're trying this gimmick. They're going to try Cliff. And Cliff's going to have to survive and see if he can handle it. In 2 years, we'll make another change.
Help me understand the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury, because it wasn't like he had overwhelming success at Texas Tech. And so a lot of times people like myself from the outside looking in, you look at what their previous track record was and you go, this doesn't wow me.
Yeah. Well, I think that it was really all about Steve Keim saying, how can I fix my team, how can I fix Josh Rosen? So he's thinking, okay, I watched Jared Goff, who, you know, whatever you think of Jared Goff, and I was very critical of Jared Goff coming out. I was critical after his first year. I was on Rich Eisen's show, and I talked about how I didn't think he had enough of a timing, enough of a rhythm to be an effective player. And then they hire Sean McVay, and McVay dressed up Goff way better than I thought he could be dressed up. Now, do I think Goff's an elite player? No, I don't. But I think McVay's done a great job of taking away. And I think what Keim was thinking is, if he could hire somebody who could dress up his quarterback, Rosen. I don't think he hired him thinking that Cliff's going to come in and want to draft Kyler Murray. I don't think he wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because Kyler Murray is a new change. Josh Rosen, he traded up to get Josh Rosen. Right. And so I think that's why. And his search to find somebody who could coach a quarterback, he wasn't going to hire Josh McDaniels from the Patriots. He wasn't going to come out there. So a lot of these jobs guys don't want to take. That's why you see Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur take jobs, because who else was going to hire? I mean, Matt LaFleur's offense was 30th in the league last year. It's one of the worst. They got 106 yards against Baltimore. Don Martindale's the defense coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. They held him for no third downs. He can't get in a job in an interview. Matt LaFleur's becoming a head coach. Like, how is this possible?
Sometimes you wonder when some of these guys get jobs. Seriously,
how he got the job. Mark Murphy wants to be able to run the team. So, you know, that. And so when you have somebody that doesn't know a lot, you become more. That's how the NFL's become. It's become watered down. Everybody has a voice. Doug Williams just came out and said, we're all going to make a decision on who's going to be the starting quarterback. No, 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 Doug. No, you have no vote in this.
Coming up next, the numbers game with Gil Alexander. For Mike Palm, Michael Lombardi, I'm Amal Shaw. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific.
More of Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard is on the way. But don't get left out on VSiN's new Point Spread Weekly. Find out more at VSiN.com.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.